Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The Eagles whooped up on the Niners so bad in that first game, guys. It was like, oh, man, it's kind of a dud just in terms of competitive football. But that second game was exciting. And, you know, the question now I have is, can you – I know you can, but – is it really a good idea to have Superman at quarterback? Because there were three Superman quarterbacks playing yesterday and one regular quarterback. And the team with a regular
That's not fair, Max.
No, I was about to say, Max, is it true?
He got knocked out.
He didn't have a chance, guys. He didn't have a chance.
Hey, Max, come on,
hey,
man.
Lewis Riddick, up in the control room.
ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL executive player. Lewis, am I right? Like, come on. Do you need, like, what do you need at quarterback nowadays to get over the top?
A healthy one, first and foremost.
Exactly.
You just need one on the field. Look, San Francisco and Philly, that game doesn't even really need to be analyzed, quite honestly, because you had one team who was playing in a way that I've never even seen teams play. Not even, and we're not even talking about the professional level, at any level, where you can't throw the football. You have two quarterbacks who get knocked out in the game. The other guy comes back, can't throw the ball. And you're just running the football against one of the best defenses in the NFL. I mean, it's not even – I mean, how do you analyze that? So, look, I think you need it with Brock Purdy in that football game. Of course, I think it's much different. I think the whole context of the game changes. Now, is it obviously easier to win when you've got a dude like Mahomes? Think about what Mahomes did yesterday and think about who he did. As of Saturday night, when they left their team meeting, they didn't know if Travis Kelce was going to play because he could barely get up out of his chair at the team meeting. He hadn't run until Sunday. They didn't know if he was even going to play. So they played with him, banged up like that. From what my guys tell me down in Kansas City, what Mahomes dealt with yesterday was kind of legendary type of stuff in terms of the pain he was in. They lose three wide receivers in the game. Their running back gets dinged up. And he's still able to somehow throw to a group that is the best wide receiver is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And still win the game. Now, I know, NFL rigged is trending on Twitter and all this other stuff. But, yeah, it helps to have a guy like Mahomes because what he showed you yesterday was, even when everything else is going to hell around you, which it was going to hell around him as far as people dropping like flies out of that game, he still is able to do enough to get you not only a win, but a win to get to the Super Bowl. So whatever they're paying him this year, I don't even know what his paragraph five is, it ain't enough, man. That'll never be enough for the kind of things that he's doing for that organization.
No, you're right, Lewis. I mean, when you look at the situation with Mahomes, I mean, it's ridiculous. Here's a guy who is out there basically, I call him the one-legged frog because of his voice,
yep,
that he's out there hobbling around, and he still is able to get his team and will his team to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Now, when you look at what they did on the defensive side of the ball to get after Joe Burrow, something that Buffalo, because of the weather, wasn't able to get their traction and get the rush and the push. But Frank Clark and Chris Jones doing what they did in that particular game with five sacks, two by Chris, but the most important with 44 seconds left in the game. Can they do that same thing defensively to a healthy Jalen Hurts in the Philadelphia Eagles in that offensive line?
They don't have to. I mean, they have to come up with something, right? Because if they don't, then Philadelphia's just going to roll up and down the field on them like they've done everyone else. So, yeah, do I think 1 through 5 Philadelphia's offensive line is the best in the NFL? Of course, bar none. It's not even a question. And they have proved it. But Chris is going to have to, at some point in time, go up against Landon Dickerson, their left guard in Philly, or Isaac Seumalo, their right guard, or even Kelce if he gets one-on-one with him in the middle. And he's going to have to win. He's going to have to win. Frank is going to have to win against Mailata or win against Lane Johnson. I mean, good luck, but you're going to have to win. And that's if you can get them to third down where you can turn it into a drop-back game and they don't have the zone read or RPO game at their disposal. If you can get them there, because they're going to run the ball. You know they're going to run it. Now, that's what you get paid for, right, in the NFL. When you get to the Super Bowl, nobody's feeling bad for you. No one's going to sit there and make any excuses. On top of the fact that, look, they got three – I mean, they got three rookies, four rookies starting in the secondary playing big roles. Their top three corners, LeJarius Sneed gets hurt yesterday, and Brian Cook, the safety. They got four rookies. Four. Plus Karloftis, who's one of their other primary pass rushers. So they're going up against right now looks like a team that when they decide to say, hey, you know what, we're going to stop playing with y'all and we're going to start smacking you around, that's how Philly looks on offense. That's a hell of a challenge, but they're going to have to try. They're going to have to make enough plays, and Patrick's going to have to make enough. Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, hey, look, man, y'all going to have to get healthy, because and Mecole Hardman, you're going to have to get healthy. So there's going to be some people looking at them over the next 2 weeks, going, "Hey, look, y'all tapped out in the AFC Championship game. You legit. I mean, your injuries are probably legit. All that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But you tapped out of that game." You can't do that in the Super Bowl, not against this team, because this team's infinitely stronger to me than, obviously, Cincinnati.
Lewis Reddick, ESPN.
Come through, man.
Lewis Reddick, ESPN, NFL analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Lou, I want to go to the NFC Championship game for a second, because yesterday when the game was over, I was like, all right, you know, online, looking on social media, all these narratives around, well, Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt, or you know, or what's going on with San Francisco's defense, or Tom Brady, could he be the answer? I'm like, ugh. Man, it's just nobody's talking about Jalen Hurts and how this team has done it on the ground. What was your biggest takeaway from watching that game?
Well, I think the big takeaway for Philly, Jay, is that they can do it however, either one, they want to do it, or two, you're making them do it, especially on offense. Meaning, if you really sell out to stop the run and your front seven's strong enough, to withstand the kind of pounding they'll put on you. And they're getting less than 4 yards a pop. The run game's just not being efficient for them. They're keeping Jalen contained. That means they're having to like expose themselves in other areas. And they can throw the football. They can throw the football. They got wide receivers that can just whoop you one-on-one. And they can throw the football. And they have a quarterback who throws the deep ball as good as any in the NFL. Now, if you decide, hey, we're going to hang back, we don't want the ball thrown over our head, we're going to play a little bit more soft coverage, and we're going to go light box on you, they'll pound you running the football, which is what they did to San Francisco. Yeah, they ran the football yesterday on San Francisco in a way that nobody has run the ball in San Fran all year. So what I take away from that is this team is really, really, really well constructed, because it doesn't matter what you do. We'll answer it with something else. And when you go up against a team like that, the way you beat those kind of teams is the same way that they've lost this year, which is, one, you turn the football over on them, and then you better be able to score. You better have an offense that can block their front and that can produce explosive plays. Now, Kansas City has that offensively if everybody's healthy. The question is, defensively, does Kansas City have enough horses to slow down the most multiple offense in the NFL?
Lou, let me ask you this question, and I know the relationship is – interesting, obviously, with you and Andy Reid, longtime Andy Reid guy and the whole deal. But I'm going to ask you this question. Where does he rank in all-time head coaches? He has only one, but he's going to another.
Yeah.
And if he gets another, he's been to all these playoff 21 wins and right below Belichick and all that. But where does he rank as a coach in the National Football League history that we know of?
Yeah. As far as, you know, I'll speak to, like, the people who I've been around, right? So, fortunately for me, I was around the guy who right now is considered to be the greatest of all time with Bill, having been coached by him one-on-one. And being around Andy all those years and how he relates to players, how he understands team building, how he understands game adjustments, what you see in his offense this year is nothing like the same offense we saw last year. So he's able to adapt the way he's bringing on these young players and getting them to play at a high level. The coaches that he's groomed. In my time, look, knowing what Bill taught me, and even though Nick ain't in the NFL, he's in college, but being coached by those two, everything I know about football itself, I learned from Bill. So he's the greatest of all time for me. Andy, because I know how he understands the entire picture, how to set up an entire operation, and how old school he really is, even though he has, you know, been coaching one of the the new age quarterbacks and one of the guys who maybe is going to go down as the greatest of all time, he's right there. He's right behind him. He's literally right there. He doesn't have the same kind of Super Bowl resume that Bill has. But as far as understanding the whole operation, player development, player relationships, coach relationships, and how consistent he is doing it, and how he has changed his team over the years in Kansas City, how he's changed his team over the years in Philly, it's hard to argue, man. I mean, and when you start talking about these, having these kind of conversations, I think it's real important when you're going to go real hard on this kind of thing and really stand your ground on how you feel about it. You better have some firsthand knowledge, just like you have firsthand knowledge. You know, you've been around some of the great coaches of all time, mm-hmm. and you can speak real well on some of the great coaches of all time because you've been there. Being around those two, it'd be hard for me to figure out who was better than those two. Mm-hmm. And Andy right now, I mean, he's still going strong. And the thing about it is when you ask other people about him, they say the same thing. The respect that he has from – look, there's coaches who give people respect publicly, but privately they're like, and I'd love to play against – you know, I love coaching against that guy. And they talk out of both sides of their mouth. You don't hear that with Andy. You don't hear that about him. You just don't, and you damn sure don't hear it about Bill.
Lewis
Riddick. Because they've been winning at a high level for a long time, a long time.
Lewis Riddick.
And that guy, he gets it, man. He gets it. I learned a ton about staff construction, game planning. The kind of things he let me see when I was in Philly as a scout, as a pro director.
Yeah.
The kind of presentations I had to give to the coaching staff about, you know, what I saw in teams on Monday night when I used to go in there and meet with him, and it was him and Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy and David Culley and Howard Mudd and all these guys sitting there looking at me like, show us what you got. Talk to us about ball. Tell us why we should even sit here and listen to you. And the things he would bring me into his office then and ask me one-on-one, what do you think about this corner? What do you think about this coverage? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? I'll never forget that. I'm infinitely better as an analyst and as a football person because of the things Andy Reid taught me. And so, look, my respect for him is through the roof. And as far as a player, look, Bill Belichick taught me about just what it means to be a player in the NFL and what it takes, the kind of consistency and resilience and mental toughness and all that. I hated the guy when I played for him. I hated him because he never let up. He used to lose sleep at night thinking about practice the next day. But I told him when I saw him a couple of years ago, I wouldn't change anything as far as how you taught me and how you coached me because it has paid off for me tenfold down the line, well beyond football. That's what makes those two, to me, two of the greatest to ever do it. And why Andy, if he had the same kind of, even close to the same kind of Super Bowl resume as Bill, they'd be like, take your pick. Which one do you want? To me.
Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL executive and player. Good to hear from you, as always, Lewis.
Sweet Lou!
All right, Lou.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
What would a Super Bowl win mean for Jalen Hurts, Keyshawn, J. Willimax? 888-SAY-ESPN. You get to weigh in. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Jalen Hurts has a chance to, when the dust settles, he could be seen as the second best quarterback in the NFL. Because even if he were to beat Mahomes, it would still be like, yeah, but Mahomes has done it now 4 or 5 years.
If he beats Mahomes, he will be the second best quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
There is no argument there.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Stop making up words, man.
What would a Super Bowl win do for Jalen Hurts?
In the bank of the soul scene. That's how he sounds. Making and digging and making and making and making and M's and making up M's. That's what he sounds like.
You know, he'd be in the car. He'd be like, man, this dude don't know none of the words of the song. But
sound like
right.
Bron when his new song come
sound
out.
Right.
Sound like Bron when a new song come out.
That's cold-blooded, man. Y'all keep Bron out of this, man. Bron didn't do nothing to y'all.
Nah.
He just got hit, you know, and nobody called the foul. And he got an Oscar.
Didn't I sound like a rapper, though, Max? Didn't he do something so Oh, nobody laughed.
No, I'm laughing. Max, yeah. Max, trying to get to it. Look at it.
No, I gave you a laugh. So did Jay.
Gave me one of them fake.
Sure is
really funny.
Darn
Key.
It's really Key. Great when you look at what the 49ers may do next year.
Yeah, Key, that flow was hot. Sort of like Jalen Hurts' team on defense.
Y'all so stupid, man. Go ahead.
What would a Super Bowl win do for Jalen Hurts?
You're making him a Super Bowl champion.
Keep in mind.
A lot.
Soon as he took over that team, they responded from year one, where he only got a partial season toward the end, a little bit of a season.
Can I say something here? Can I have a floor? Yeah, what's up? So what would it do for him, right?
Yeah.
It will kick him to the top of the top three quarterbacks in the National Football League, as far as I'm concerned. Not only that, typically, first time appearing, you got to follow me here, Max and Jay. First time appearing quarterbacks in the Super Bowl usually get the MVP. Usually, no matter how they play, he'll probably get the MVP trophy. If he follows my recipe and he is a 18 of 25 for 230 and a touchdown and no turnovers and they win, he'll probably get the MVP. Because that's just what the league,
Super
you know.
Bowl MVP.
Yeah, yep. you gotta do something crazy to get the MVP. Like, right? You got to do something really crazy. Oh, there it is. Odds to win the Pro Football Championship MVP. Plus 125, Jalen Hurts.
That's the best odds because they're favored.
Patrick Mahomes, 130.
Yep.
No, I didn't even see this on the board when I said this. Yep. Yeah.
So basically, I mean, this is how it goes. The quarterback of the team favored to win is number one for the MVP odds. The quarterback of the team that is the slight underdog is number two. The best offensive player on the team expected to lose is number three, because that's because he's such a big part of that offense that if they win and it's not Mahomes, it'd probably be Kelce, right? And then on the other hand, the offensive player.
Mahomes, if Kelce gets it, that means Mahomes is going to get it because he had to put the ball in Kelce's hands.
But this is what I'm saying. I'm explaining the odds. In other words, Kelce's not sharing those odds with two or three other players on his team the way the three Eagles non-quarterbacks are, right? So they got for the Eagles, who was it, Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, because those guys – my point, Key, is just that they all – could do it, whereas if you look at the Chiefs and it's not going to be Mahomes on offense, there's one guy who it's going to be going through, right? You would think.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Jones could potentially do it. Maybe a Frank Clark. Maybe there's a guy who gets a pick six and also gets another pick. I don't know, but if the Eagles win, my bet is Jalen Hurts, because, again, first-time quarterbacks appearing in the Super Bowl, they win, typically get it.
Yep.
And you say, well, what does this do for him, Jay? You know what else it does?
Gets him that money.
Gets him what?
Get him that money.
It ain't going to be no money. It's going to be bags. I'm going to tell if I was him, I'd tell him I need. No, but I want all mine in quarters. No, he's already at the $50 million mark.
You know, Max.
That's already done.
Like, I don't know. You look at a couple of quarterbacks in the league, right? Like, I think Patrick Mahomes, I think, all right, that's him. I think Joe Burrow, I'm like, that's him. I see Jalen Hurts, and I'm like, yo, that's easily him. It's just, it's.
But why is there hesitation in your voice?
There's no hesitation in my voice. I said it's easily him. Easily him. It's just the way.
But why is it hesitation in other people's voices?
No, I don't think so anymore. I think you got to give people a little time sometimes who don't have your eye, who didn't play the game.
No, and but the time is gone by, Max. We're at the end of the season.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think you have to take the temperature of the room now, and I think that people are caught on. Like, for example, if you at the end of, like, right now, if you polled people who are the top 6 or 7 quarterbacks in the league, Hurts is going to be on a lot of lists.
Whereas he needs, he should be.
Yep. And he should be. Yeah, I have him top 3 right now because I've seen what he's done. Guys, the Eagles almost never lose when he plays. What more do you need to know? Including in the playoffs when he's hurt. They almost never lose. But when he doesn't play, then they lose. What does that tell you? If he wins the Super Bowl, guys, a lot of people are going to have him second to Mahomes going into next year in the league because Rodgers is coming off a bad season and he's old. Brady looked old, right? Burrow didn't, like, it's his second year. He's great. He's way up there. A lot of people have Burrow second, but Max, in the end, he didn't make the Super Bowl. Hurts did, right?
I know we always get into rankings, mm-hmm. and that's something for – I don't give a damn where y'all have me ranked. This is mine. Like, this is my team. Like, I've always felt like that, regardless of whether you thought he was a starter or not, or if you wanted to second-guess. Yes.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman and his moves with Carson Wentz, like just even the way he operated that,
but I didn't
you
know,
felt like it was his.
But like I said, Jay, I didn't know when they drafted him what they drafted him for based on the history of the way that they treated that style quarterback in the National Football
mm-hmm.
League. Not supersized Cam Newton where there's no other position. I mean, Cam was Cam. There was no other position that you – like for anybody to go to Cam Newton at the time and say, hey, why don't you move the tight end? It was like, man, what the hell did you watch? And
understood,
see,
yeah.
Where Jalen Hurts transferred from Alabama because it was publicized as if he couldn't play the position. So they went to Tua, who had a better career at Alabama than Jalen Hurts, based on them pulling him in a national championship, although he came back in and led them to a national championship. Then he goes to Oklahoma, and he does the same exact thing that
Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray did,
but he gets drafted in the second round. So now you sit there and you say to yourself, okay, did they draft him thinking, oh, my God, yeah, we're going to wildcat him to death. We're going to have him do some RPOs, some fly sweeps. He's going to be a jack of all trades for us and a master of none. Until they actually start playing him at quarterback, I was skeptical of what they wanted to do with him. Based on $120 million they just gave to Carson Wentz.
Yep, but you could see that Howie Roseman, once he got the job, built around him, got him everything he needed.
Yes, that was later on.
Didn't bring in a backup that would push him. Like, it was clearly Jalen Hurts' team. By the way, a lot of people want to weigh in on this, not to mention the officials. How bad was it over the weekend? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, 888-SAY-ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Sirianni indicated afterward that Brown.
Bless you.
Thank you. There's another one coming.
Okay. Wait for it.
Who had
wait
three?
For it. Wait for it. There it is.
Who had three catches?
Get this man. Hold on.
What do you want from me?
Make sure you tell Paul and I want a brand new microphone.
I'm going to get a Petri dish, and I'm going to capture these germs, and they're going to multiply, and I'm going to put them back on the mic. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Oh, I hope they get you on the
You didn't bring me back, man. Boy.
Man, what's wrong
I'm
with you?
I'm somebody against the wall. What?
What is
Come
wrong
on,
with
man.
You?
This is college.
Twerking?
No, I'm. It's different, man.
Jay had a good time in college.
How is it different?
I had a great time in college.
Nobody
he was the man.
Wasn't
two-time player of the year.
I don't know how you be. You only dance with the hand. You be swimming when you dance.
Swimming.
Keep me doing like the 60s dances. You know what I mean?
Well, those were the popular dances in his youth.
I come from the generation where we put you against. You know what I mean?
You're damn near 50.
The $2
now.
Party.
Yeah,
for sure. You're damn near 50, Jay.
Well, I'm not 50. I'm nowhere close. I just turned 40.
You damn near 50.
No.
No, he just looks it, Key. He's actually closer to
40. No, Max,
calling you old.
No, I ain't worried about what Max says. I'm just tired. We're all tired.
I look as tired as Jay likes to tell the story about how when. After he was on the show for about 6 months, when I was on First Take, I ran into him in the hallway here at ESPN at Seaport, and I said, Jay, you look tired. Because he did.
Turned.
Last time I saw him, before he started on this show, handsome guy. Now I run into him, and he looks like Gollum from Lord of the Rings, all sunken eyes and everything.
I mean,
and
that's now, aggressive. Like, God, that's really aggressive. Max, that's an aggressive
now,
visual.
Man. Well, it's true. And now, except now
well,
I look that
true.
Way. Now I look that way, and Jay runs into me and goes, Max, you
need some
you look
sun,
tired.
Max.
Yeah. You do need some
I'm
sun,
get
Max.
Some sun
yeah.
this upcoming week.
You're looking very Casper like.
I know.
Very, by the way, I swear, everybody know, I didn't say it out loud, but Yates did jump in my ear and say that Key has hips like Travis Kelce. It was interesting.
Have you seen the celebration after he scored it, though? Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce.
After Miles Sanders scored.
No. I want to Google Jason Kelce hips, but I don't because I don't want it to be in my
you
memory.
You got to see it. After Miles Sanders scored, he was doing the dance for a Lil Uzi song, and then Jason Kelce comes in and he gets a little wiggle.
Oh, the wiggle.
The little wiggle.
You
so
it's
either Key doing that joint or James doing that joint. Either way,
what
someone
mean,
got
can't
hips
move?
Like that. You got to see it, bro. I'm going to put it in the chat.
By the way, the Kelce brothers, man, how are they living right now? Both in the Super Bowl.
Hey man, Jason Kelce, 285 pounds. Why are you trying to say Key has hips like that?
Oh, I'm not 285. I ain't worried about that. I'm alone. I ain't
good. Jason Kelce.
Check him out, though.
Kelce brothers were raised right. Cool. Two good dudes, man. Both those guys. Like, would want them on any team, right? Like, think of how good they
are. Hey, there it is. Those hips can move, though. Okay, yeah.
Hips don't lie,
Those hips can move. Those hips don't lie.
Hilarious. But, Max, so I
why are you getting uncomfortable?
How bad
why
were the officials?
Transition?
For real, how bad were the officials
he was getting ready
yesterday?
To do it anyway.
No.
You already know that.
How bad were the officials in both leagues, NFL and NBA?
I told you, he ain't going to let us run through the stop sign.
Yeah, we're running up against time now. Now
no,
it's
we're
no,
not.
Yes, we are. We're not.
6 minutes left in the segment.
We're not doing a podcast that no one listens to, guys. We're doing a radio show, a popular radio show we have to get to.
And the radio show isn't going anywhere, Max.
And how bad were the officials last night? That's the question.
Go ahead, Keith. Take it away.
Get you right back.
I don't think the officials was all that bad. I think that people who are fans of their teams, that the outcome wasn't what they wanted, they're going to complain about the officiating, right? If you miss a call on Devontae Smith's touchdown, it's very easy to miss when you're blocked out and you are the guy who's actually making that call. And then they hurry up, boom, they go because there was no flag, there was no red flag thrown. You look at that one. Now you look at the grab by Ward in the slot against A.J. Brown. He hooked him and turned him around. That's not a bad call, okay? Then when you go to Patrick Mahomes getting hit out of bounds, that's not a bad call.
No, that was the right call.
Joe Burrow, on the other hand, he gets sacked. Okay, so, I mean, he got hit late, whatever. Okay, they're missing those calls and they're making those calls. Some of them are ticky-tack on roughing the passer, and some of them are egregious. They didn't call it in that situation.
Jay, I think they didn't have a great game yesterday, but I don't think officiating has gotten worse over the years. I think everyone's gotten smarter about the rules, and we have high-def cameras everywhere, the fans just see more. But what about bring the NBA into this, too? Because it does seem like one of the stories out of last night across sports was bad officiating.
Well, you know, I got asked a question Saturday night. I'm sitting there like an old man having a glass of Shiraz, and I'm watching the Lakers-Celtics game. And I see LeBron drive. And the first thing I say to myself is like, well, that's a typical LeBron James travel, right? Because LeBron James travels all the time. They don't call it. All right. So that's number one. That's what I see first play. Mm-hmm. Secondly, he goes up and Jason Tatum, you know, literally he extends the ball with his left hand. He slaps his entire arm.
Yep.
I don't know how you missed that one. I mean, I saw that in real time.
You probably could hear it too. Huh?
Well, my thing is whenever you go up with the left-handed layup, Max, uh-huh. the ball doesn't shoot off the glass.
Right.
It doesn't just pop back off the glass. Like, if anything, maybe you have too much English on the ball or the ball hits the rim and rolls out. You know, if you're a grown guy who's played basketball for 20 years of your life, it's an easy layup. So they just missed it.
Jay,
but I don't know which one's more egregious, though.
I want to ask
the missed call,
LeBron.
Max, or the reaction of LeBron James earning an Oscar after the missed call?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. Like, on the one hand, he's often compared to Jordan because of his place in the game and the greatness and all that stuff. Jordan got a lot of calls, and Jordan was officiated like a guard. Then I think of Shaq. Shaq didn't get a lot of calls that he should have gotten because he was such a physical phenomenon, right? That they were like, man, if we called the game straight up and down for Shaq, you know, no one could play against him. Do you think that that happens to LeBron, that instead of getting the Jordan treatment, he gets the Shaq treatment because of his size? Like, what's going on?
Max, we've been saying this about LeBron for like 10-plus
years.
But
I'm asking, where do you come on? How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, we've been saying this about him, is that he never gets the calls, but – that one in particular, when your left arm is extended, man,
you should get
like
that.
You're not. It's not like LeBron's burrowing through people. You know what I mean? And going up and try. His left arm is extended. It's outreach. You see,
especially when he does the French roll.
The French. We doing.
Well, you said the English roll.
His fingers on the spin.
Right. Oh God! It's
no,
a layup
a
that was missed
miss.
Because of a foul.
Jeez.
We're playing this on
we're
ESPN
laymen,
right
okay?
Now.
Look, it's right there in front of your face. The left arm is extended. Jason Tatum comes.
Where's the ref at, though, Jay?
Well, you have one ref right on the side, on the left sideline. You have another ref on the baseline. They're looking right at it.
So why is LeBron so adamant about this situation right here instead of just like...
Look at this ref right here at the bottom corner. He sees it right there.
Oh, yeah. But let me ask you this, though, Jay.
He sees it right there.
No,
there's a ref at the bottom baseline.
In all honesty, is the referee looking at the ball?
Yes, and that's the problem.
Or is he looking at the arm?
Well, you say in basketball, don't ball watch, right? You say that sometimes on defense, right? If you're corner or whatever.
Okay.
Right? The ref is ball watching. No, watch the play. Watch the hand.
But if the ref is truly ball watching and he's looking at the ball, he's focused in on the ball and not the forearm, so to speak.
I mean, the review came out afterwards where the NBA said they missed the call.
No, I'm not saying that they didn't. I'm not saying that they didn't admit to it.
I'm not
saying
the ref.
Right,
I don't know what the hell the ref is looking.
No, I'm saying in real time, if he's watching a ball, how could he be looking at his arm to know that he got smacked?
I don't know, but as a basketball person.
I mean, I want the Lakers to win, clearly.
Obviously, but as a basketball person, I can tell you, I never see people miss layups like that.
You
don't miss a layup.
You automatically know that he probably was hit to make his ball English roll instead
of... that's the thing. The ball had no English on it. The ball just literally hit the backboard and came off.
Okay, so based on the angle of where the ball popped off,
look at the ball.
That's a foul.
Watch what happens here on the play. The ball comes here, boom.
And the
ball just goes, it hits like the lower side of the rim. The ball doesn't do that.
And the reason I asked you earlier, Jay, about the LeBron, like Jordan versus Shaq officiating thing is because I think part of the reaction for
LeBron
is like, he's like, look, I get it. You call it like Shaq against me. But when I'm in that position and a layup, you know, in that situation, I'm not even getting Jordan treatment. I'm not even getting regular guy treatment. I'm getting he's so big, just let him do whatever he wants to me treatment. Like I think why he went nuts.
But see, I am going to tell you, Max, that I would be livid after that. But with that being said, man, like sometimes like with Bron, I love Bron. He's one of my all-time favorite players. I've said I think he's the best of all time. But once again, that reaction though, like the turn, the twist, the down on one knee. Like, people start running with that, and I'm like, just focus on the fact that this man got hacked and nobody called anything.
This Monday morning roundup is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. And finally, you get to weigh in. 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Yes, I'm alone in the studio.
Why they got you by yourself like that with the empty seat? You miss
Keyshawn
me, Max?
Keyshawn and J. Will are in Bristol, Connecticut.
Did you even hear me?
All by myself.
I asked you if you miss me.
What's that?
I asked you if you miss
me. Can't hear you, Jay. Say it again.
Oh, jeez.
Of course I miss you. Jay and I sit here and we have breakfast throughout the show and talk about stuff.
This guy.
I'm all alone now.
Talk about stuff.
888-SAY-ESPN.
Max Kellerman, why don't you get to some calls for me, sir?
I think that's a good idea here on ESPN Radio.
Max, you are a unique character, dog.
Cowboy in Kansas City has something to say, guys.
Gentlemen, it is truly a pleasure and an honor to speak to you.
Yes, it is.
I have to say this. Best show by far ever. Keyshawn, you're phenomenal at what you do. You truly are a trendsetter in the industry.
Yay!
Jay Will, same to you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
But also, Jay Will, you got to watch Keyshawn. He's slick with it.
Oh,
very
slick. He
did hit with that Wankster thing when he called you the Ja Rule. Called you Wankster.
Yeah, that's what we called him, Cisco. We got it. Yeah, belly button tattoo.
But his right elbow is ashy right now. You missed it.
Get him! Get this mess, Johnson & Johnson.
Hey, Matt, brother, you are a phenomenal ally. You show the world what it means to be an ally. I appreciate you. Mm. You're a phenomenal journalist. You report the news. Great at what you do.
I didn't know he was a journalist.
Also, the new show called You, I think you would appreciate it. Talked about culture stuff. Great show. Last thing, Patrick Mahomes is the truth, and Chris Jones had to let Joe Burrow know that we were going to burrow his head in the field all day long, representing the Chiefs by 17 when we go to Arizona.
What?
Max, when you writing your next column?
I'm just trying to find the lotion. Anybody got lotion around the studio?
Man, I can't. Leave my elbows alone,
man. I'm mad y'all didn't say nothing to Key the whole show.
I got some cocoa butter
in the car.
Until the
last 10 minutes of the show.
I got some cocoa butter in the car.
See, if they were friends, Key.
I don't give a damn about my elbows being ashy.
I don't like that look for you on TV.
I don't care. I got lotion in my room. I'm good.
Whoa.
And guess what kind I got? Cocoa butter.
Nobody needs to hear about that.
I got cocoa butter in the will if you need it.
I got cocoa butter at the crib.
Oh, you good.
I got Palmer's cocoa butter.
Mike in North Carolina. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Next to the bed.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to get back to what the discussion between Andy Reid and Bill Belichick.
I think you heard the last guy. You start out by complimenting us for about 5 minutes first, and then you say what you need to say.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Listen, I listen to the show all the time.
Don't
I've been listening since it was KJ and Z.
Well, I saw Z last night.
We're building.
How's he doing, man? I love him.
He was good. He's just getting ready to go do sports.
I don't know him personally, obviously.
So he said hi for 2 seconds and went to get makeup. I was like, I was trying to hold a conversation.
Where are you going, Z?
Mike, don't waste time complimenting us. Get to the sports point already.
I'm sorry. So I wanted to get back to Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, greatest coaches. I'm more on the Andy Reid side mainly because of the fact that Bill Belichick he's more decorated. Mm. He had the golden boy. But, you know, I hate to say it, but as Max has said in the past, he couldn't do it with the Browns, and he hasn't been able to do it since Tom. But Andy, if I remember, went to 3 straight NFC championships with the Eagles before coming over to the Chiefs and going to, I believe, 5 straight NFC championships now. And there's really no telling when he's going to stop with Patrick Mahomes. They could easily go to 10 straight. They're doing a great job with team management.
But 10? You got our ex-producer, executive producer, James. You said going to 10 straight. He's sitting over there. You had to see his face. You saw his beard move up because he smiled. That thing went, you know. Like he over there cheesing. What? Look at him.
Guys, why do we
We're
have
building.
Why do we have to knock down Bill Belichick to build up Andy Reid? Like, why
Bill,
do we?
Bill, first of all, Bill Belichick has a lot of haters in general. going all the way back to Spygate and all the other stuff, Deflategate, Tom Brady leaving.
A lot of cheating going on.
Him not having. So you get all of that. That is just, that's what it is. Bill is, I don't care what anybody say, arguably the best coach that I've ever seen.
Agreed.
That I've been with. And then Andy Reid. And then obviously to me, Bill Parcells falls in there, you know, with me. So
There is something to be said for coaches. And look, I get, you could say I hate on Belichick.
You know, Mike Tomlin.
Belichick got, you know, the resume speaks for itself. I think he has the best argument for greatest coach of all time. I'm just saying it's not undisputed anymore because he got a win without Brady. But I will say this, there is something for a guy like Andy Reid who can get to the level he's gotten to in multiple places. Like your guy, Bill Parcells, Key, wherever Parcells went, it turned into a winner at a high level, you know? Did it with different quarterbacks, different situations. And Andy Reid is proving to be that kind of guy.
Benny in West Virginia, what do you got? Benny?
Ron is the same thing, greatest ever Jordan. Because we know he's not. He's not even the best Laker.
Who are you talking about? I couldn't understand one word you just said.
He said LeBron. LeBron is not better than Jordan. He's not even the best Laker.
Well, he's not the best Laker because he played it for the Lakers at the end of his career.
His career is not over yet.
Yeah, but toward the end, like his best, he's
Man,
not.
Dude, I, for another I 10 love, years. I love Max, all
the people.
That.
I love all the people that can't shoot a basketball for their lives trying to tell me who's better at basketball. It's mind-boggling. Right. What, Max?
Well, I said like me, Dana in Virginia. Dana, you're on with Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Keyshawn? What's up, Jay? What's up, Max?
What's good?
Love
man?
The show. I want to stick with the where this will put Jalen Hurts if he wins the Super Bowl. And Max, you the greatest hype man ever because you always gonna hype up whoever. Like you was hyping up Joe Burrow all last week. So I wonder who you gonna hype up this week. Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl, guess what? He won a Super Bowl. That's cool. That's great. Good quarterback and all that. You got to remember, Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. How much do they talk about him now? And the bad man with the great arm, he won a Super Bowl how many years ago? How much do you talk about? Come on, man.
But wait, here, hold on. Before I let you go, let me say this. Two of the dudes you talked about, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, I don't ever foresee Jalen Hurts turning people off the way that Russell Wilson has turned some people off and the way Aaron Rodgers has turned some people off. I'm just going to say that. That has a lot to do with the way people feel about those two dudes versus Jalen Hurts. That's all I'm going
to
say.
But I do agree with you to a extent, though. There will be the pressure if Jalen Hurts is able to get one now. Now the bar is set, right? It's championship or bust every single year. You start looking at people a little bit differently if they don't continue to get to the bar.
I think he's here to stay, though, because something about him is legit.
Yep. I agree with you.
And authentic.
Yeah, it's authentic.
You can take a snapshot of a period in time where something was considered a certain way. It doesn't mean it's always going to be that way, where he winds up being the greatest ever. But right now, Hurts is way toward the top. And if he wins the Super Bowl, he'll be even closer. Keyshawn, Jay,
Will, and Max.
I'm the
greatest at this right here. What
Greeny
I do.
Coming up.
Morning.
See you tomorrow.
I'm
6 the greatest.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.